there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, before starting today's show, I just want to let you know that you can watch this show and all of our other podcasts on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. We have our podcasts, we have live streams, we have other quick-hitting content to make sure that you are prepared for your fantasy football season. Make sure to give us a like and subscribe to support the show, and you can also click on the bell to receive notifications for future videos. Also, just a reminder that you can find and follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. We're dropping new posts every single day to make sure that you are prepared for your draft and to help you win your league in season. Again, just as a reminder, you can find and follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. Now, on to our interview with Jeff Fisher. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We are honored to be joined today by Jeff Fisher, former head coach of the Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans, and St. Louis Rams. Over 20 years of head coaching experience in the NFL, and we're extremely excited to be able to chat with him today. Jeff, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast.
Well, hey, Kyle Tags, it's really nice to join you guys. I'm really excited about what's ahead, And as we go through this process, man, I'm really looking forward to learning a whole bunch about what you guys do. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are very, very excited. We've got some questions for you, Coach. But first, I just want to talk about this best ball commercial that you did with FanDuel. And I cracked up watching it. I don't know about you, Tex. I was laughing. Obviously, you're a football guy through and through. But Jeff, I think you might have a future career in acting if you want to go for it.
That's funny. I was at my cabin in Montana a week or so ago, and I walked in the kitchen. I was prepping the meal or something, looking out the window at the lake, you know, and the mooses that are walking by. I hear my voice coming from the other room, and I walked back in the other room where I had the TV on, and there's the commercial, first time I saw it. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool. It was... from outdoor channel to NHL to live to you name it, it's been out there. And I've had a lot of friends in the business, outside the business, call them in. Hey, that was really cool. So here's what happened with that. About 6 weeks ago, I get a text on a Friday. Hey, do you want to? And I'm like, okay, well, I had three questions. I'm happy to look at a commercial. What are you guys, who's doing it? And where is it? And is it safe? And how much did they pay? And so... Yeah, but on Tuesday, I ended up in Chicago, and it was a great experience. In particular, it's one of the behind-the-scenes things, guys, and that this crew was so professional, you know, everybody that helped with the shoot and everything, and they were so happy to be back to work unusual circumstance. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun. So, you know, there's paella, there's a cat, there's Swifter, there's all kinds of things coming. Don't ask me about my paella recipe, because I have to put you on a list and you'll go way down on the bottom. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Great people to work with. And so far, so good. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Well, good. Yeah, like I said, you've got a future career in acting if you want to go for it. And apparently you've got nothing but good reviews. So that's a solid foundation to jump off of. Well, yeah. Jeff, obviously this is one of the weirdest off seasons that we've ever experienced, right? And there's a ton of unknowns as we head into the NFL season. I'm extremely excited to get to chat with you and lean on your experience, right? We were talking before we started recording that your experience is one of the things that we can lean into here. For us, we can dive into next gen stats and we can look at all these different metrics as fantasy football analysts, but we're not the ones who understand how to install an offense, how to determine who gets the targets, the carries. It's, you know, so I'm really excited to get to chat with you and lean on your experience here. Tags, I know that you're really excited for this too. You wanna ask the first question here for Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, thanks for joining us again. We definitely appreciate it. And, you know, getting to go inside your head as a former head coach, we could obviously, I can benefit from this as an analyst. And I know that our listeners are going to benefit from the questions that we've come up with for today. And the first one I think that a lot of people have is, you know, these players with the new teams, they're obviously moving. Like Brandon Cooks has gone from team to team to team to team. And this offseason more than ever, how difficult is it for a player to come into a new situation and make an impact in year one? And does this offseason affect their ability to make that difference that they typically would?
30 seconds ago, you guys talked about the difficulty and the unknowns that exist as you move into a new season. Under normal circumstances, there's a lot of unknowns. And you know, you're going to wait for a preseason game or two or three or maybe you know, the fourth preseason game to see whether or not this Brandon Cooks, if you will, for example, is fitting into that offense. So under normal circumstances, there are unknowns. Under these circumstances, there's a lot of stuff out there that even between now and the start of the season that's going to take place. It's just all about uncertainty. So there's nothing, this is different. You know, I coached two franchises in five different cities and six different stadiums, moved two franchises. So I know a little bit about distractions. This is the biggest distraction in NFL history. And I don't mean to downplay the significance or the importance of COVID, but it is, as it relates to sports, it is a huge game changer. So with that in mind, I think if we understand that, at least we'll have a better idea of maybe how to even will that dovetails even to how we build our roster or who we stay away from because of the unknowns. And so to your question, Brandon Cooks, that type of player that's moved around, changed rosters. Keep this in mind under normal circumstances. You have an off-season program that starts after free agency starts, but for all intents and purposes, the player that changes address, he's already signed the deal. He's already, well before the off-season program starts, he gets into the building in the middle of April, and he has April, May, and half of June, in which he's learned the system twice. And then he comes back to training camp, and he learns the system for the third time via installation. And, you know, you have three different opportunities to install an offense. So, you know, those are normal circumstances. These circumstances are different. I mean, when these players were getting signed, when players are moving around, changing address, the unrestricted free agents, and those players that maybe a favorite player of yours or and you're saying, okay, what's he going to do? I wonder how he's going to do this. There was no criteria factor with respect to how the player learns on Zoom. You know, players learn on the field, they learn on the board, they learn in the classroom, but we don't know. So there's a lot of unknowns. So I, from a general standpoint, you have to take each position like you did in the past. And if you guys can statistically go back and look and see how productive running backs were when they changed addresses in the next year with a new team, if they're productive, then they got a chance to be productive. So, you know, but keep in mind that same running back, he's not had any live carries and that ball may come out, you know, in the opener on the first series. So many different factors. So, you know, with that as kind of a general statement, that there's just a lot of unknown. And so with that being said, we can kind of dive in the different positions if you want to.
Yeah, no, it really, for me, it comes down to, like, I would think that the running back position would probably be one of the easier ones to walk into, obviously. But when it comes to quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends especially, everyone knows that there's a learning curve for tight ends. And that's why you typically don't see them break out until year three, year four of their career. Whereas wide receivers, is that, you know, the connection to those guys, like Phillip Rivers transitioning over to Indianapolis, Tom Brady going over to Tampa Bay, is that important in terms of chemistry between those players where, you know, are we going to have to worry about the chemistry between T.Y. Hilton and Phillip Rivers on the field because they haven't played in any games together?
No, you're not. They've had practice time, but here's the difference between Phillip and T.Y. and maybe somebody else in a new receiver is that the relationship, Phillip's relationship with Coach Frank, with Reich.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, they spent time together in San Diego.
Yep.
Okay, the system. They know, they're on the same page. It probably took them a week to go through the playbook, and Phillip has it. So now T.Y. Hilton's not only being coached by his receiver coach, by the head coach, he's also being coached by a quarterback that knows the system. So by the time you get in the season, no, there's no problems there. But does that situation exist in other places? So, you know, you have to look into those things. And another thing, I mean, you talk about receivers. I don't know. You guys help me. When was the last time a first round wide receiver, a first round pick, went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie? It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that, you know, if you're going to play this game, the listeners need to understand is, you know, we've had this adage that we carried along with us for a long time. The further away from the ball you are, the harder it is to play.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, the harder it is, meaning at the receiver position, it's going to take some time. There's adjustment levels all over the place, and week after week after week, and different coverages and new things and all these things. So it's tough out there for a young receiver to be productive. Now, there's always, you know, examples and where on occasion, sometimes that'll happen. But I really think, you know, you look at receivers, you got to be careful, especially with young guys. If it's a veteran guy that's changed an address a couple times and he's been productive, he's going to be productive as long as you got an offensive line.
Right,
you know, because obviously you got to run the football to throw it. So a lot of different factors. The tight end position that you brought up really, really intrigues me because from a fantasy standpoint, because the tight ends, he's got dual responsibility. He's got three responsibilities.
Right,
he's gonna very, very responsible in the run game. So he's got to learn that. Okay. And then of course, what's he doing in the pass game? And then also in the pass game, not only as a receiver, he's going to be involved in protection. So young tight ends take a while to come on the scene. And so you're almost, if you're going to pick a tight end, you're better. Obviously everybody would pick Kittle, but I think the veteran guy is the guy you have to lean with. And again, you know, when you talk about skill positions on offense, you're going to make your money from more so from veterans than you are from younger guys.
Jeff, I want to continue the conversation. I want to talk about coaches and specific matchups, right? And we were talking about this beforehand that we could probably talk about this for, oh man, 30 to 3 hours, right? 30 minutes to 3 hours. Like, this could just be an incredibly long conversation. But do coaches look at player-specific matchups and look to shut them down? Or do they rely specifically on their scheme and hope it works? So, like, for example, George Kittle, the tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, going against the Cardinals in week one, they were destroyed by tight ends all last year, and Kittle's really the only option that they have in the passing game. Can a team really game plan to shut down that one player, or do they rely specifically on their scheme?
Well, you can game plan and you can shut down, you know, for the most part, a wide receiver, provided that he's lined up outside and wide. If that receiver, for example, ends up being, he's a versatile guy that will not only line up outside, but inside on third down, that it becomes that, you know, a primary target on early downs, and then he becomes that inside type of slot receiver, third down, keep the change rolling type of guy, that guy's harder to shut down. Now, defenses are equipped. Now, defenses are smart. I mean, you can call your defense as simple as, we'll call it cover one, and it's one call number 85. And so they'll call that coverage, and that means, all right, everybody else is man-to-man, and whoever's on 85 gets help from the safety. So you can try to do those things, but it is really difficult at the tight end position. Much easier outside than it is at the tight end position. He's going to play left and right. He's going to move. He's going to go in motion. He's going to line up in the backfield. And that's primarily the reason you see guys move around like that, is to create matchups or avoid matchups. So the tight end position is a hard one to stop in the passing game. Okay, because you got run action pass, you got drop back, you got third down. So it's difficult. So I don't know if I answered that question. Can the Arizona Cardinals? Yeah, with a whole offseason, if they think they have a foolproof plan to stop Kittle in the opener, I think they could affect it. But guess what? Give the 49ers credit. They're going to go someplace else. They know where their weakness in the defense is. So, you know, I remember y'all know Tony Gonzalez and what he did to defenses for his great career. We were getting ready to play the Chiefs in Nashville, and our whole defensive game plan was, where is Tony Gonzalez? Where's 88? And we got to do this. And we didn't sleep during the week. For some reason, their offensive game plan was so concerned about our pressures that they kept Tony in the block the whole game. You know, so you know, this thing's about adjusting and things. But to get back to the earlier question, it's going to be difficult to stop a player like George. It just is hard. And if you're tying coverage to Kittle, well, you're going to have to make some amazing adjustments in the run front. So, you know, different things happen. So, one thing affects the other. It's a, you know, there's a cause and effect to everything you do on the field with respect to try to create matchups.
Yeah, no, I love the way you answered that. And that was always my concern with tight ends, is people are like, hey, are you worried about Kittle this year? Because 49ers, they just don't have a whole lot of options at wide receiver. And the ones that they do have, they're starting to go down with injuries. And my response was always, I think it's harder to shut down a tight end than it is a wide receiver, because those guys are kept in a block, you know, roughly half the time. And Kittle is one of the best blocking tight ends in the game. So I definitely like that answer. With that being said, what is the biggest thing that you would say fantasy football analysts miss when they're projecting games? Because we look at all these stats, we look at all these numbers, and we're trying to find trends and things. What is the biggest thing that you would say we miss throughout the week?
Well, I just think there's so much going on and so much information that does not get out from the practice field, from the preparation days. You've got two teams that are preparing for one another. So if you got a player on one club, and you're looking at it, and you're trying to find out all the little things that are going on during the week, there's things going on with the other team as well. So there's just so much information. You don't have access to the stuff that goes on the practice field. Well, how many reps did he get? Is he healthy? What kind of week did the quarterback have? What was the weather factors? Did they get the full speed practice? Is it a short week? Is it a long week? How do these guys bounce back off a win, off a loss? All those things, you know, that you can get information about and find statistics. But man, what goes on in the practice field, especially considering most of those practices are closed, that's hard information to obtain. So you know, you're rolling the dice a little bit on statistics. But again, the more information that you have, the more similarities that you can draw from, the better off you are.
Jeff, I wanted to double back. We were talking about Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton earlier, right? And so this quarterback and wide receiver connection, and obviously the familiarity with the scheme is going to help. But from our perspective, we're sitting down and we're trying to project the entire season, right? Which is a futile experiment. But who has more of an impact in who gets thrown the ball? Is it the coach or is it the quarterback? Does the level of experience that a quarterback has to factor into that? So if you have a rookie quarterback versus someone like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, does that also play a role in it?
There's just not a simple answer to that question. It's a great question. We'll go back to Phillip and T.Y. Right now, T.Y.'s sitting in the receiver room, and he's the leader of those receivers. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's been there, done that. He and Phillip are best friends already. I guarantee it. They're working together. They're doing so. Okay, so now Phillip and T.Y. aren't now. Phillip, I guess it's a different set of circumstances, but most quarterbacks are not involved in actual game plan and stuff. Young quarterbacks, coaches do the game plan, create the matchups, and put the routes in, change the routes based on what they did last week, or complement them to the running game, etc. Okay, but you've got in this situation, you've got a veteran receiver, a veteran quarterback, and they know that in a lot of these circumstances that he's the guy that the opponent's going to try to stop. So what are they doing? They're going to create, they may use him in motion or line him up here to create a mismatch in their favor with another offensive skill player. So, you know, but to get to your point, the ball's coming out of the quarterback's hands. Veteran quarterbacks are making their read. They're going through their progression. So yeah, once the bullets start flying, man, it's the quarterback that's getting the ball to the receivers. All this stuff during the week, you know, all the game planning, all the practice reps and everything. Yeah, it's all coaching, but you know, and on Sunday, not now Sunday, and on a critical third and three or third and four to keep a drive alive to win the game, a must-stop third down, they got their go-to call, and odds are pretty good that Phillip's going to look for T.Y. because he trusts him, or that right. plays in there because T.Y. has the experience, the wealth of experience over time. He can adjust, you know, if the defense builds a wall inside, he's got to redirect and come back outside. Phillip trusts he's done there, been there and done that, and bang, it's a first down. So, but to answer your question, again, I'm long-winded answers, but yeah, the quarterback's delivering the ball, but so much of it during the week has to do with the coaching and the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I want to build on that one because it goes back to a conversation I was having on Twitter yesterday with someone. Nyheim Hines is the third down back out there in Indianapolis. You go back to last season, he played just 21 snaps per game. Obviously, that was just with Marlon Mack on the team. They drafted Jonathan Taylor in the second round. And a lot of people are expecting, you know, just because Phillip Rivers has targeted running backs over the course of his career with, you know, Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead, Austin Eckler, these are fantastic receiving backs that he's had. So we're trying to project, does that happen with Nyheim Hines just because Phillip Rivers is who he is, or is it a matter of the talent that he had on the roster?
Well, the answer to that question is, under normal circumstances, you would get a sense, maybe in the preseason,
right,
as
right.
to how many third down snaps or 2 minute snaps he's going to get, because your 2 minute snaps and your third down snaps are basically the same at the running back position.
Right.
Okay. They're the same responsibilities. You got protection. You're either hot, you're not, or, you know, the ball's designed to, the route or the play's designed to get the ball to create the mismatch. So we don't have a preseason to see that. So if you go back to last season, how many of those snaps were third down snaps? If he's a backup coming off the bench on first and second down, but he's off the field on third down. Now, doesn't mean to say things won't change over an offseason with a new quarterback, but, you know, it's taken this running back time to understand the concepts. And it's not an easy concept. I mean, you know, people think, oh, your running back comes in, all you do is, hey, have someone either hand off the brown thing to you or throw it to you, and you go. But no, it's not that easy. It takes backs time. Now, on first and second down, yeah, you're running the ball downhill, or you're involved in play action, and you need to get to where the spot you need to get to on the field in the play action pass concept. That's one thing. But boy, when you have to scan and you're responsible for one of those backers, and they change numbers, or DB fills in that position, or line stems, or people moving around and stuff, you need to know who you got in protection. Because if you don't, if you make a mistake, the quarterback gets hit, you got problems. So, you know, it's that, you know, again, we don't have the reps, the snaps, because we don't have a preseason. So go back and see. If the kid was on the field on third down last year, then odds are he's probably got a pretty good understanding of the offense, which means he's got a football brain, he can learn stuff quick, and he should be on the field on third down this year.
Yep.
I love that insight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. So I want to close it out with this question. And this one is so important to me as someone that goes through every single game every week, talks about every player. And I find it's easy to see the weaknesses on teams. Like, for instance, I'm going through the week one matchups right now. Carolina last year allowed, you know, running backs 5.32 yards per carry. They allowed a rushing touchdown every 14 carries. Like, there was nobody even close to in the league that was as bad as them against the run. Do NFL coaches sometimes overlook these things? Or, you know, it's the idea of the art of war, where you go in and you attack the biggest weakness on that team. Do NFL coaches actually go in and look at those things and say, hey, if you break down and look at every single week, 80% of the time, this is who's doing the damage against them. We need to find a way to exploit that weakness on their defense. Do NFL coaches actually do that? Or is it more like, hey, we're going to execute our scheme the best that we can, and we're going to hope that it's better than them?
Well, combination, you just answered the question. I mean, first off, do we have a new defensive coordinator in Carolina?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, you got a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, similar, but new head coach, new defensive coordinator. Okay, so yeah, things are completely changing.
Yep.
So is it possible, the question you're asking, I'll restate it for you, is it possible in the NFL to go from, you know, the bottom five in run defense to the top five in run defense over an offseason? Yes. Either with one coaching changes or two scheme changes that the coaching staff, there was no change. They made adjustments. They got a couple different players in there, and they made scheme changes because all they do is study all offseason. Yeah, they can change. The key here is, you know, that's what makes this year so exciting, is that because of the uncertainty, because of the distraction we referred to earlier on, you really don't know what to expect. The only thing that I think we can hang our hats on are those offenses. The New Orleans Saints offense, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, how much change have they gone through? Not much, right? We all know right. Drew's a Hall of Famer. We all know what they got, the running back. We all know Michael Thomas can do and all. They're going to be good. They didn't have to learn a new offense. They fine-tuned, okay, yep. Versus – where there's a new head coaching change or a coordinator change, or Cincinnati with the, you know, with a young promising rookie quarterback, you don't know where they are. So to me, I would lean with those established programs and the established players. Now, outside at the cornerback spot, you can roll the dice a little bit. You expect good players to be able to make big plays and you know, guys are changing addresses. I mean, a former player that I had that we drafted with the Rams, Janoris Jenkins. Okay. Mm-hmm. New York, obviously, that thing didn't work out. He's down. Right. He's re-signed again in New Orleans. Guess what? Jenks is going to be a really good corner down there in that system. He's in his second year. He's got the experience. He's going to line up and he's going to play. He's going to play well. So, you know, those are the things that you know you have to look at. But those systems that are in place that have been productive in the past, because this is an unusual year, those are the areas that you're going to have to, I think, safe places to go. And then within those safe places, which guy's going to have that breakout year or come back and repeat what he did last year?
Jeff, you talked about that week against Tony Gonzalez and like not sleep in that week, right? Who, really quick, and this is just for my benefit, and then we'll get you out of here. Who was the best quarterback that you ever went up against, that you ever coached against?
Well, that you know, I can't tell you who the best one was. I can tell you that I was fortunate over my career to face some amazing talent, from Joe Montana to Phil Sims. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, all the way to currently, you know, I mean, our battles against the Colts with Peyton and the
right.
battles we had with Brady and, you know, Philip Rivers. This pains me to say this, but I won a lot of games in the National Football League and I coached for a long, long time. I think I had maybe four matchups against Philip as a head coach, because they weren't in the division, never beat the Chargers. Sean Hill threw an interception in San Diego inside of 2 minutes going in the end zone, and we lost. We had a controversial play at the end in Nashville against the Chargers, and we lost. I couldn't beat Philip. But so I have a great deal of respect for Philip personally, professionally. But, I'd have to say, because of my own personal experiences, the matchups with Peyton twice a year were phenomenal. And, just for the listeners, we lost the line coach. The National Football League lost the best offensive line coach, I think, one of the tops of all time in the game, in Howard Mudd. Howard Mudd had so much to do with that offense and Peyton's success. And that offense had so much to do with offenses around the country at every level with the hurry up and what Peyton did. And, we'd have to put wristbands on our defense and change them every quarter. And now you have another dynamic that's going to go on out there with no fans. And I don't know if you guys have heard quarterbacks talk about it, but, quarterback gets up and they got code names for East, West. East is left. West is right. That makes sense. Okay. They have code names for left and right. And they, may have one, may have two. They're going to have five or six now because the defense is smart. They're going to hear what you're talking about.
The defense can actually hear them this time. Right.
I'm sorry. So it's a different world right now. And so it's really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing goes down. But when the dust all clears and settles, okay, if you have an experienced, talented, returning offensive line, and you got a quarterback under center that's been there and done that, you got a chance to win games early.
Yeah.
More so than anybody else.
Yeah. This was awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for just sharing your experience and answering our questions. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget to head over, guys, those who are listening, don't forget to head over to YouTube and check out his FanDuel commercial. It is fantastic. So, Jeff, thanks so much for taking some time out and chatting.
Always a pleasure. Let's talk again soon. We need to regroup after week 3 or 4, see if anything today was accurate.
I'm down to do it. Anytime, I agree. Jeff.
Okay, see you guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. For Jeff Fisher and Mike Taglier, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.